This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. We spend a lot of time on this program talking with writers, painters, musicians, and other creative types about their craft. We usually discuss what they do and why they do it, but we don't often focus on where they work. Today, we begin a series that will do just that. It's called Creative Spaces, stories that explore the studios and offices, hideaways and hamlets where the creative process takes root. Some of the artists we visited require calm. Others think most clearly amidst a sea of clutter. But in all cases, their space was essential, a sanctuary that stokes the imagination, nurtures creativity, and ultimately provides new insight into their work. We begin our series with a visit to a quiet country lane in Easton, Connecticut, hometown and home base for the author and illustrator James Prosek.
Every individual fish is different. It has its own personality, it has its own characteristics. One species, the brown trout, Salmo truta, it's one of the most diverse vertebrate species on the planet, and its native range is from Iceland to the Pamir Mountains in Afghanistan, from the Kola Peninsula in Russia to North Africa. You could paint 3,000 trout completely differently.
The world's waterways and the fish, specifically the trout that inhabit them, are a kind of religion for Prosek. He travels the world to find them, writes lyrics, prose, and poetry to sing their praises, and he paints them like no one else. Forget the illustrations you've seen in hunting and fishing guides or the dull specimens on ice at the local market. Prosek's renderings are detailed and vivid watercolors that capture the moment of opalescence when sunlight glistens across water.
I represent them at the moment when they hit our world, the moment when they break the surface of the water, which is reflecting our world, that mysterious sort of in-between place, and they're still very much alive, and their colors are at their peak. It's a moment that you can't even capture on film. It's locked in my head. And when I go to paint the fish, I remember that experience. It's really like a flash moment in time.
What John James Audubon did for birds, James Prosek has done for trout in best-selling books such as The Complete Angler and Trout and Illustrated History. We met Prosek at his Connecticut home, a Yankee farmhouse with a yawning porch. Though he's traveled the world in search of rare trout, he's settled two doors down from the house he grew up in. He still fishes in the same pond he trolled as a boy, and he now paints in a building that he's been drawn to all his life, the one-room Wilson Schoolhouse built in 1850.
It used to be on Wilson Road in Easton, which is across town, and it was overgrown. There are hemlocks growing around it and bushes, and the town offered it up to anybody who would renovate it. So the family that was living on this street bought the house from the town for a dollar and then moved it here. I think it was like 1981 or 1982, because I was in elementary school. I was probably 6 years old. And I remember that all our teachers said, we're all going to go down on the lawn and watch the schoolhouse go by. So there's this like big flatbed behind a truck and big trailer, and this schoolhouse goes by on the road. And then it wasn't until I got home that I found out that they moved the schoolhouse to my street. I almost felt like a celebrity or something. It pretty much stood as a schoolhouse on this empty lot for about 10 years until they built the house on it in 1991.
And they built the house around the schoolhouse.
They built the house around the schoolhouse, yeah.
As you walk through that house, now James Prosek's home, you get the sense that somewhere in that lanky 29-year-old frame lives a very old soul. His farmhouse is a model of order. Every book, every chair, and his prized collection of antique farm and fishing tools are displayed as if in a museum. Even his mail is stacked just so.
So this is the entrance to the schoolhouse?
Yeah.
But his studio next door in the schoolhouse is a separate world, somewhere between a bachelor pad and a boyhood fort.
It's my little room, and all my stuff is here, and nobody can get at me, and the idea of coming in here and making it my space, turning it from what it was into what it is, it's just open and great.
It's a cozy, slightly rustic space, about the size of a two-car garage, with a pot-bellied stove and sleeping loft beneath a pitched roof made from wide planks of chestnut wood. Six low-hung windows usher in an abundance of natural light. The far wall is plastered with photos, postcards, quotations, and candy wrappers.
I just love old packaging.
And some new packaging. Tasty fish heads candy.
Yeah.
Prosek has a collection of wooden easels. One of his favorites is based on a portable design by Monet.
I put two straps on it so I could carry it on my back.
But his latest project is spread out across the floor.
Yeah, I'll roll this up.
It's his largest painting yet, a 9-by-5-foot rendering of a parrotfish. Most of it is still a pencil sketch, surrounded by brushes, rags, and picture books, and a can of Diet Coke.
Now I want to paint them bigger so people look even closer, like at the beautiful details of the fish, and almost just shock people into really seeing how gorgeous the diversity of nature is.
This 19th century schoolhouse is the place where Prosek paints, writes music, sleeps occasionally, and surrounds himself with objects of comfort, amusement, and inspiration.
When you travel and people talk to you about your work and you talk about your workspace, how do you describe it?
I try to almost make it sound smaller than it is, like that there's a small space where I work, because I want it to be a humble space.
Humble.
Yeah, I think humility is a big part of it. It's part of being open and receptive to everything you see, and part of being a good observer is to know that you don't know anything. If you think you know something, then you're going to block yourself off to it. And the problem, I think, with people as they get older is they think they know something, and then they conform to what they think they know, and then they're not open to being original anymore.
Do you find that people, whether they're publishers or patrons or the people who buy your books or go to your gallery exhibits, are they interested in your workspace?
Yeah, they like it, and they tell people, James's studio is in this old schoolhouse, and it's become part of my story, kind of. And I think artists need a story. And it doesn't have to be a conscious fabrication, but every sort of artist that's lived on after they're gone has some kind of story, and some of them were very conscious about fabricating that story. I think Picasso was. I think Hemingway was infinitely aware of what he was doing in terms of making his own legend. And, you know, I don't often think about why I live two houses down from my father, why I'm still on the dead-end street where I grew up. Nothing's really changed, and why am I still here, and why did I go all the way around the world and come back? Because I think this space is my story.
The first chapter of James Prosek's story as an artist began 20 years ago in the woods surrounding his home. That's when he first developed a kind of oneness with nature, a subject he's now exploring in print.
I just finished a draft of this young adult book called The Day My Mother Left Me. So, and that's about really growing up on this street and the experience of my mom leaving when I was 9 years old. And that's really when I really turned to nature in a big way. And a friend of mine at school introduced me to fishing. And I mean, I really spent almost all my time that summer in the woods because I didn't want to be anywhere near the house, and because there was just all this stuff going on.
What did you find in the woods in your retreat?
Well, I think as a kid, I discovered my own independent little world, and really in an Emersonian way, I was a self-reliant 9-year-old boy, and I decided that I didn't need anybody else to, make any decisions for me in my life. That was it for me. I didn't need my parents, and my sister had her driver's license, so she was off partying. So, well, it wasn't that kind of, I don't think, a angry or belligerent decision. Like, I remember being angry, but I just kind of kept it. And, you know, fishing was a way of expressing, like, a predatory anger.
That communion with the outdoors has drawn him to naturalists like Emerson and Thoreau, so much so that he's building another creative space, his own little cabin in the woods.
Of course, I was thinking about Thoreau's place in Walden Pond and reading about the 10-by-15-foot house floor plan that he built there. So, yeah, I wanted to build a little kind of Thoreau cabin, a contemplation station.
We are standing in the threshold of this cabin. When you are finished and you approach this door, What do you want to see when you walk into this room?
There'll be a little round table and probably two chairs, and that's about it, probably. A wood stove and just a bare floor, and it'll be an empty space, like a ship deck, kind of just a place where the sea around us is the woods around us, and that's it. It's a new perspective, and I really believe in changing your position to see things differently. And this spot here, which is near the house, is for me very distant.
You're an artist. You're a writer. What is your definition of space?
I always referred to the space where I like to create as the creative underground. I think when I say the word underground and hear the word underground, I'm thinking of a space that needs to be dug out of something. And even though these spaces are above ground, I feel like they're dug out of the air, and that creation is the act of playing God, and making art and making books is, you know, the closest you can come to this conventional term, God. And really, you're carving spaces out of emptiness. So I think, like, a definition of space would be just you finding that underground in the out of ground. It's maybe where you feel home. And what is home? A home is where there's some other sentiment beyond just a building. And, you know, I did this book where I traveled the latitude line of my home in a straight line, and I left from home, but was heading toward home at the same time because I was going in a circle. And we're all kind of going in circles. So for me, it's just been about finding home.
James, thank you for allowing us
in
your space.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It's been a lot of fun.
Author and painter James Prosek, outside his home in Easton, Connecticut. To see Prosek's paintings and pictures of his schoolhouse and his contemplation station in the woods, go to our website, npr.org. We'll continue our series on creative spaces next week with a visit to the laboratory of jazz trumpeter Stephen Bernstein.